Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've all had a few days to kind of recover from the hurtful loss out in Chicago. I mean, you've already kind of touched on it in the article today about some of the things the Padres have to address. First, I mean, what were your thoughts how the whole thing ended?
Yeah, I think it came down to them not being able to score, and that was kind of the thing for most of the season. Yeah. Like, and whenever the games kind of felt big, whenever it felt like they had a chance to maybe make a move in the division, or some of the games at Dodger Stadium, it was just a challenge to score. And I do think maybe some of the emphasis on the Padres' lack of power is a little overblown, just because teams can win without being extremely proficient in the home run. Like, look at what the Brewers are doing right now. I think they're like 22nd in the league. But the Padres needed more power. They needed more power than 28th in the league in home runs. Yeah. And they have guys that should be able to provide that. And those bats went ice cold in the biggest moments. You can talk a lot about the pitching, and a lot of people have. I know that I know there's been discussion of Yu Darvish in Game 3, and I know there's been discussion of like what to do with the bullpen and how they deployed it. Like, the fact is, they scored 5 runs across 3 games, and that's not good enough. That's not going to win you a wild card series, and there's reasons behind that. There's reasons which I'm sure the Padres will look to address this offseason. There's reasons I'm sure the Padres will hope to change kind of internally. A lot of these guys you would maybe expect more from in those spots that didn't deliver. So here we are entering the offseason with a team that couldn't quite get it done offensively in the biggest moments.
Yeah, it's so disappointing, especially coming off the heels of, you know, how last year ended, AJ. And
yeah.
I just, you know, I wonder, you know, is this, if it happened, you know, fool me once type of thing. It happens once, you say, well, you know, it was just a one-off. I mean, we just had a, you know, rough time. But then second year in a row, something similar happened. So does that mean it's philosophy, or does it mean the players they have or whatever, not clutch, can't rise to the occasion? I mean, how do you honestly even judge that or figure that out if you're an organization?
Yeah, I think the comparison to last year is, like, last year was a little different in the sense that that team hadn't done that all year. That team had not gone quiet offensively all year. Is one of the I've made the point that it was the best offense in Padres history in 2024, and then they went ice cold in the postseason. Like, if you want to write that off, or if you want to say, wow, that's just incredibly unfortunate timing, or they faced some excellent pitchers, all of those things can be true. But then you look at what this season was, and this season was not last year's offense. This season spending the entire summer wondering when that offense was going to fully click, and they dealt with injuries, and they dealt with guys in and out of the lineup, and then obviously the trade deadline like made that offense as proficient as it should have been, and then they lost Ramon Laureano. There's a lot of mitigating factors there, but the fact of the matter is, like, this team did not perform offensively like it should have for most of the season, particularly against quality opposition, and then got to the postseason, and it didn't change. Like, it was still the same kind of what we had seen. And so is it philosophy? Is it personnel? I think the answer is yes. I don't think I've said this a couple times now. I don't think the philosophy needs a complete overhaul. I just think it needs a tweak, maybe, to focus or to tap into that slug a little bit, because there are some, for Fernando Tatis Jr., for instance, there are some very good things he did this year in terms of his plate discipline, his approach, his ability to get on base. If you can marry that with his ability to hit 40 homers, which we have seen him do, I think that's the goal. So I don't think that takes an overhaul. I think it might take another piece or two in the offseason. If you can find one or two more Gavin Sheetses, I know how hard that is. Like, Gavin Sheets was a major success story this season. But guys with a little bit more slug to kind of fill in a couple of those spots lower in the lineup, and then you pair that with a little bit of a philosophical change. It's all so much easier said than done, but yeah. I think that's the path forward.
Or one little piece added, and then everybody else do what they were expected to do this year in terms of the power, right? I mean, that's, you kind of hit on it earlier.
Yeah.
Some of the guys didn't quite get to the levels that we've seen them get to in the past. AJ, I want to ask you a little bit about Yu Darvish. You mentioned him in terms of pitching game three. I mean, I know it's impossible for you to know, but what does your gut think? What do you think? Have we seen the last of Yu Darvish?
It's a 50-50 proposition for me. Like, maybe not 50-50. That's the wrong way to say it, because I would lean toward Yu Darvish being back, just guessing. But I think the fact that he alluded to the idea of, like, I have a decision to make, I haven't thought about that yet, in his post-game interview on Thursday, like, that at least tells us that there's a decision that he knows is coming.
Right.
So it's something he's going to have to think about, and I wouldn't expect him to make the decision instantly. He's a very thoughtful person, and he will ruminate on that decision. I think there is – I also don't know the status of his elbow. I think he pitched through some stuff with that elbow inflammation, and part of what he did this summer in terms of basically missing the first half of the season was to preserve the health of that elbow. What does he need to do to be himself, to take care of that injury, and to be the version of himself we saw in September and October 2024? If he thinks he can become that guy, if he thinks that the elbow is not an issue to getting back to that form, I think he'll be back. If he thinks it is going to be a challenge, I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. Obviously, he has three more years left on his contract. I think $16 million owed to him next season. There are luxury tax implications and all of this. There's a lot to kind of sift through. But ultimately, it's Yu Darvish's decision, and I don't know the answer. And I don't know if he knows the answer at this point.
AJ Cassaville does the Padres stuff for MLB.com and is always gracious with his time on this program. I guess the acting mouthpiece or owner for the Padres, John Sy, mouthpiece sounds like a negative connotation. I don't mean it to be. But he wrote something to the fans, and I'm sure you read it, AJ, and some of it talked about how, you know, this wasn't good enough. We got to figure it out. We got to get better. We got to make some changes. But a lot of people ran away with that and said that means changes in the front office, the manager. Is that even something the fans should be running away with, or what you read, did you just say changes in the way they go about, approaching, attacking and scoring runs?
Yeah, I wouldn't run away with anything from that statement, because to be honest, it read to me pretty much like a disappointed end of season statement.
Yeah.
Like they always read.
Right.
And so they're disappointed. They need to get to the root of the cause for the disappointment, and then they'll make changes, and those changes could be, like, we don't know. We don't know whether they're small changes, whether they're big changes. We will wait and find out, and maybe find out in the soonish future. But the statement, to me, read like a disappointed end-of-season statement like it usually does, and we got several of those from Peter Seidler through the years when the Padres' seasons weren't as good as what they envisioned. To answer your question, I don't think it's smart to run away with any notions of who might be gone after this, but I do think it leaves the door open for a potentially interesting offseason without making any declarative statements from what we read from John Seidler.
AJ Cassaville joins us, MLB.com, covers the Padres during the course of the season. And AJ, we got our second season of Jackson Merrill, finished second in Rookie of the Year his first season. This year, he finished with about 114 fewer at-bats due to, missed time due to injury. What did you come away with after year two of Jackson Merrill?
Yeah, he had to learn how to grind, because last year he really didn't go through any prolonged slumps and he didn't deal with any of the injuries that I think, like, if you play baseball long enough, you're going to deal with, because you're playing every single day and you're putting your body on the line every single day. And that's also the way he plays. So I kind of came away with it impressed with his resolve and impressed with his mettle, even though his numbers weren't the same and he didn't put up the same number of at-bats. I look at him as one of those guys, like, how does this offense get more slug? I think there's more for Jackson Merrill to tap into, and I think he would be the first to say so. And I also think that he would be the first to say that like, this year didn't go the way he wanted it to go. And so, talk about internal improvements. I am expecting a big year three for Jackson Merrill just based on knowing him, based on seeing his trajectory, based on the fact that, like, those injuries weren't exactly, like, anything to do with Jackson Merrill's routine or anything. Right, they were mostly fluke injuries. And so I'm looking toward 2026 with Jackson Merrill on board now for 9 more seasons. Like, this is a year for him to kind of take a step forward, because this wasn't the year he wanted to have, and it wasn't the year health-wise that he foresaw having. But I also think that, like, I came away a little bit impressed with the way he handled that, with the way he brought himself back to being the kind of guy the Padres needed him to be down the stretch and into October. He had a decent wild card series, as much as you can say for anyone on that offense. And I guess to recap his season, like, not good enough, and I think he would say so, and also very unfortunate with injuries, but it leaves me in a place where I go into 2026 expecting him to take a leap forward.
AJ, appreciate the time. I want to slip a couple of quick ones here at you. I want to throw you 4 or 5 names. If you could just out of 1 to 10, 1, no chance, that or 10, they're gone, 1, they're staying, no chance, they're going. And I'll give you a few players. Suarez, 1 to 10, 10 being that you think he'll go somewhere else.
9. I don't think it's likely that he's back. I think I think the bullpen's outstanding already, and I think it's more likely that he declines that option that he has.
How about Arise?
7, I think.
7.
I'm not entirely sure. Arise's market is the one I'm least certain about of all these guys who I'm sure I'm gonna get. But I think it's more likely that he's not back, given what we discussed about the Padres' need for power and maybe a philosophical switch and they do need a first baseman, though, so maybe 6.5, 7.
6.5. Dylan Cease?
9 or 10.
9 or 10, okay. You touched on this one, but I had it on my list. AJ Preller. At this point, hard to say, I know, but...
3? Like, 3, I, or, three okay. or 4? I think he's probably... Like, it's hard to say, but... and it's interesting to see, like, what happens if there are any extension discussions, given that he would be entering his final season under contract, and that's where a lot of the speculation, I think, comes into play. I personally think he's done his best work in the last 2 seasons, building some rosters that... 2024 roster was definitely capable of winning a World Series. And I think this last year's roster was too. It just didn't reach that potential, and maybe some of that burden falls on him. It'll be interesting to see given kind of where he stands in his contract situation right now.
One last one. I know we're running out of time, but people who think that they're going to blow it all up and go crazy, what number would you put on Fernando Tatis, like being traded and they change the trajectory of everything? Like 0?
1.5.
A half?
That's maybe not 0, because you can kind of see why it would make sense theoretically.
Right.
But it's not. It's just so unlikely, because you're making yourself significantly worse if you do that. I don't foresee there being a deal where you're getting back that kind of value to trade away a guy that's that good, who I had on my MVP ballot, who's probably not at the height of his value either, given that he's not coming off his best season. It just seems very unlikely. Even if you could kind of make a case financially and whatnot going forward, 1.5 is what I'll say.
Okay. All right, I got a bonus one before we get
bonus.
Out of here. 10 or 1 chances of Penn State getting into the college football
playoff? Oh, man, they still got a chance. I said yesterday, AJ, they got to beat some good teams, though.
Yeah, I mean, they of course still have a chance. I think if you look at, like, kind of where Notre Dame was a year ago, like, no one... Granted, Notre Dame didn't have to go play Ohio State at Ohio State. So the chances are 2 out of 10. Maybe 1 out of 10. I'll give it a 1 in 10 shot. If they beat Ohio State on the road and Indiana at home, that means they're probably rolling, and they'll get in if they do. But I'll just say I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe they will, based on the first, not just the UCLA game, but all the first five games of the season.
See, AJ's a tough critic of his Penn State.
Yeah, he's a Nittany Lion fan. He's a fan. Yeah, sure. That's what fans are. They're tough critics.
All right,
sure.
AJ. Appreciate your time, man, as always.
Thanks, buddy.
Enjoy your time off.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
AJ Cassaville.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.